We're turning this morning to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And I'm thinking today, I hope you don't get depressed about this, I'm preaching about spiritual depression, something that everyone here knows something about. You say, well, Brother David, why do you say that? How do you know? Well, I just know that everybody, and even every Christian person, has times of spiritual depression. And I know that I have, you have. So I can say that really feeling that I'm right. All of us have times of spiritual depression. And I looked on the internet, as I do, for sermons that people preach. I don't know how many. If you go to yours and type in spiritual depression sermons, you'll find hundreds and hundreds of wonderful messages about this. I listened to three or four or five of them myself and thought, man, I wish I could preach like that and teach like that about even this very important subject. So I hope you'll go and look that up when you get home sometime during the week and listen to those great messages that other preachers have preached as well. I want to read Psalm 42 for us this morning, the whole psalm. It's just 11 verses, and Adam will have them on the screen. But if you turn in your Bible to Psalm 42, let's read this, and I'll read it for us. It says, as the hart, well, that's a deer, so that's an old word for a deer. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holiday, holy days. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermons from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterfalls. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why am I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. When you read that and you see and you feel all that the one who wrote it must have felt, and you say, boy, that's the way I have felt, maybe not this week, but maybe have, or sometime in your life when you've gone through this time of very deep, dark spiritual depression. The writer of this is going through that, and that's why it's so helpful to us in our times even of despair, to go and read it and read it and read it. We ought to memorize that as much as the 23rd Psalm. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. You know, we live in difficult times, and all of us know that. All of us are concerned about our jobs. Some of you have lost your jobs. You're worried about contracting COVID-19, this pandemic that is getting worse and worse rather than better all around the world, not just in America, but all around the world. We've just had an election, and some of you are happy and some of you are sad. About half of our country is saying, "Hallelujah, we got a new president." And about half of the country saying, "Oh, no, 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 we can't have this guy." And so there's depression. As a matter of fact, some are so depressed they can hardly get up in the morning worrying about the political situation of our nation as well as the pandemic around us. So there are times when we all get discouraged and we get unhappy. We know that's true. But you know, depression, spiritual depression, is something different than just feeling unhappy and having the blues. Depression is something that can cause people to drop out of living in society. We all feel bad at times. It's like a thunderstorm comes, but then it goes away and we feel better. That's not what we're talking about with spiritual depression. Depression like that is a lingering fog more than a thunderstorm. It's a fog that just hangs over and takes all of the sunshine out of our life. So let's notice, first of all, if you're taking notes, the serious problem of depression. In Psalm 42, verse 5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me?" You see, the one who wrote the psalm, and we don't really know who wrote it. We think, and many think, that it was David, who was the king of Israel, and he wrote many of the psalms, and so it may be that he did. Others think it was one of the sons of Korah. You notice at the heading of that psalm, let's look at that. It says, "To the chief musician, maskel," that word maskel means instruction or finding truth. That is the Hebrew word maskel, meaning instruction. "For the sons of Korah," and the sons of Korah, you see, were the musicians. They were the song leaders. You could go back and look in 1 Chronicles where it tells about the sons of Korah. And so it says, and some people think it was one of those sons of Korah who maybe wrote this psalm after leading the music and praising God in the tabernacle and all of that. It may be. And it may also be King David. And so I'll not count exactly because we don't really know who wrote the psalm. But if it was David, we know that he went through times of terrible depression in his life. Depression is a multi-billion dollar industry. Millions of Americans suffer from depression. They've done everything they know to feel better, and they just don't feel better. You know, what is depression anyway? Depression is a listless feeling, a continual feeling of sadness. It's an attitude of nothing feels good, nothing is worth living for. It's a state of constant hopelessness. And I know I'm talking to someone probably, maybe here in the sanctuary or out in the TV audience or someone else who actually is going through this terrible time. It's a feeling that no one cares, that no one understands, that no one really accepts me. Oh my, it's a continual worry It's continual anxiety. You may say, well, how can I know? What would give me a clue that I or my loved one or someone else is depressed? Here's some questions. Have you lost all initiative? Do you have repeated crying spells for apparently no reason? Do you wake up in the morning feeling so tired and so weary and so fatigued and you don't want to face the day? Do you feel a scattered pain, unspecified aching all over? Do you find yourself sometimes thinking about your own death? Do you even think about maybe ending it all? Suicide. Do you find yourself sighing with a heavy, heavy feeling in your chest? Have you come to the place where you distrust your own wisdom and have unusual trouble making decisions? Do you keep second-guessing yourself? Do you find yourself irritable all the time? Are you cross with others for really no reason? Do you find yourself unable to be enthusiastic about any things? You see, as you think about that, and you think about someone in your family or someone that you know that may be going through a time of depression, if we're not going through a time of depression now, we probably will. It is likely that someone we know has it. And depression is the third leading cause of death among many groups of people. You say, well, Brother David, you're telling us about depression, and I don't really know why I'm preaching this sermon. I don't think it's because of my depression. I do have times of depression. I feel many times in my life, and probably you can say the same about yourself. And you may say, well, Christians, aren't Christians immune to it? I mean, once a person gets saved, don't they live happily ever after? And there's always joy and peace. Well, no, that's not really the truth. Now, we do have happiness in our life when we're saved, when we're born again, when we come to Christ, when we find full life. But in the Bible, you'll find several who were depressed. I think I have a scripture there. Numbers 11, verse 11, tells us that the famous man Moses got depressed. It says, and Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore have you afflicted me, your servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? You see, Moses is having a hard time. He's dealing with a whole bunch of folks who've been following him. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that you should say unto me, carry them in your bosom as a nursing father? Nursing father? Beareth the sucking child unto the land which you swear unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us meat to eat that we may eat it. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if you deal thus with me, and here's what Moses said. This is the famous, wonderful Moses of the Bible. If you deal thus with me, he said, oh God, kill me. Kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in your sight. And let me not see my wretchedness. Now, if that's not a depressed man, I don't know. I don't know one. Here was Moses, led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and all of the things that he went through, and all the miracles that he saw, and he communed with God, you know, talked to him, and God talked to him. And yet he came to that place where he said, oh, Lord, you just kill me. This is too much of a burden in my life. Then there was Jonah. Can you remember Jonah? Jonah and a whale? You remember that? Yeah, you almost remember Jonah and the whale. That's right. You see, here's the scripture, Jonah chapter 4, verse 3. Jonah said, "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me." Here was that preacher, Jonah. He said, "Lord, take my life from me. It is better for me to die than to live." If that's not a depressed person, I don't know what one is. Don't you think the same thing? He's there longing to die. And then there was Elijah, that famous prophet in the Old Testament. Notice what Elijah said in his time of great, great despair. He said over there in 1 Kings 19:4, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And Elijah said, 'It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life away, for I am not better than my fathers.'" Here was that great prophet Elijah, my soul, and yet he was one who got depressed. And he went a day's journey and said, "Lord, take my life away from me." The Apostle Paul, I'm not a more famous Christian in the world than the Apostle Paul, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, look at what Paul said. "For we would not, brothers, have you ignorant of all of our troubles which came to us when we were in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength." And notice what Paul said, "insomuch that we despaired even of life." He said we were out there in Asia preaching the gospel and we were pressed out of measure and we despaired of even living. Paul says we came to the place that we just didn't want to live. The burden was so heavy upon us in the ministry. John the Baptist, he was one of those who was so awfully depressed. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 and 3, notice this. "Now when John had heard in the prison," he was in prison, "the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, 'Are you he that should come, or do we look for another?'" You see, John was wondering there. He had been the one who saw Jesus and baptized Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And baptized Christ. But here he was languishing in prison. You know what happened to John the Baptist? It wouldn't be very long before they cut his head off. You remember that story? But here he is wondering in prison, "Is Christ? I thought he was. I thought I knew he was. But now I'm wondering if he really is." So he had doubts and depression, as many of us have doubts and depression. Now, if it was David who wrote this psalm, many have thought through the years that it was. Can you remember the story of David? Boy, he had every reason to be depressed. If I could tell the story, you go back and read the story of King David. His son Absalom had turned against him and betrayed him, tried to take the kingdom away from David. David had to run for his life. Absalom was then killed. His son was killed. He lost his home, his wealth, his power, his financial support, all of that. He had sinned against God. You remember the terrible sin that he committed with another man's wife, then had the man killed after he had committed this sin against Bathsheba. He lost a little baby because of that sin in his life. It broke his heart. He never got over losing that little boy, that little child. And he had a daughter who was raped. One of his wives was physically assaulted, sexually assaulted. Another of David's sons was killed. And the nation that David was supposed to be king over was in terrible turmoil. So it may have been with all of that, if David wrote the psalm, all of that in his life, and here he is as he is crying out to God. This psalm, one has said, is almost a clinical expression or case of depression. Notice, number one, he had spiritual dryness. Notice verse 1 and 2. He says, "Oh, I wish and I do long for you. My soul is thirsting for God. My soul is thirsting for God." You see, he was not thirsty for church. He was not thirsting for Sunday school. He was not thirsting for some temple service. He was thirsting for God, longing for God. He says, "My soul is thirsting for the living God." He had spiritual dryness. He felt as if God was far away. And some of y'all may be feeling that way, that God is so far away from you. He felt his soul was shriveling up. He thought that maybe God had forgotten him. Look at verse 9. "I will say unto God, my rock, why have you forgotten me?" Well, he knew that God hadn't forgotten him. He just said that in another place. But here he feels like God had forgotten him. And that's one of the things about this depression. You can feel like it, even though God has not departed from you and God is still present. You feel as though he has gone away and you have this terrible dryness in your soul. He cried continuously. There in verse 3, "My tears have been my food both day and night." He says, "I find myself crying day and night, night and day. I weep all the time." That's one of the clues of depression, that emotion like that. All of us know about blues. We have the blues. Why, there's a song at Christmas. Elvis used to sing, "I'll have a blue Christmas without you." And we all think of the blues, and we all have the blues, and we love songs about the blues. And yet that's what David was experiencing here. He had that terrible feeling. He also felt shame and defeat. In verse 3, "My tears have been my food, and they say unto me, where is your God?" He's worried about the fact that he has this terrible feeling, and those who don't know God, or maybe those who do know God, are looking at him and they're thinking, "My, you say you know God. Well, you sure don't act like it. You sure don't look like it." And so David is worried about his witness in the world. Here he is, this man after God's own heart, the Bible says. And so he's concerned about his witness in the world, his witness in his family. He says, "I know God is here." And they say, "Well, you don't act like he is." And David is depressed, so full of shame and defeat. And you notice he has lingering memories in verse 4. Look at this. "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me." He says, because I remember the good old days when I could go to the temple and I could worship. And so he was remembering those wonderful times. I was thinking as I read this, I could remember back some times at Nashville when I was pastor there at First Baptist. And some years ago, they had this big choir. It was always full of people. They had their choir robes on and the organ would play and everything. And there were times I was thinking about that, how My, there were some of the most wonderful musical. I had the privilege of being the pastor, of sitting there and listening to that choir as they sang. I remember sometimes, and there was one period in there when it was more than I can ever remember the joy. It was something else. And they were singing one day, and I was just in the spirit. I was shouting and praising to God and everything else. And I pulled my shoes off before I got up to preach. And there I was barefooted. And I said, "Here I am." Do you remember that, Anna? I got up and I said, "Here I am. My shoes are off because I am standing on holy ground." That's why I felt such a deep expression of joy. Well, David is like this. The one who wrote the psalm is saying, I remember, I think back to the good old days, the joy that came to me in the temple when I was worshiping God and felt His presence so very near. And so we remember too the good old days of joy and peace, praising God in the house of the Lord. But David felt like those times are over. And I ain't never going to see those good times again. And I'm not ever going to experience this joy in my heart again. Do you feel that way? Maybe someone watching, maybe someone here. You have that feeling like he did. Oh, there is a need for hope in your life. David had overwhelming circumstances there in verse 6 and 7. Oh, my soul is cast down within me. I'm remembering the days. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the waterfalls. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. One preacher I was listening to said that they went to a place where there was waterfalls, and he was with his new wife, I believe. And someone said, "You need to go and swim in that river, and there's waterfalls that come down, and you're going to have the most wonderful experience you've ever had." And he said, so we swam out in the water, and we got into the waterfall, and he said, "I've never been so miserable. The water was coming, hitting me on the head, and I thought I was going to die. It was hitting my head so hard." And that which someone said was joy. And here the psalmist said, the one who wrote the psalm said, Oh my head, thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Now, what is the solution to all of this? I know if we're spiritually depressed, what could be the answer for us? We can be thankful that we are thankful to God that we do not have to be depressed because God has made provision for those who are. First of all, we need to look within and analyze our heart. That's what this psalmist did. He looked inside himself and he analyzed. Did you notice when we read that? He was talking to himself. And that's important, to talk to yourself. Preach to yourself. The soul is the you that lives inside. The soul is your mind, your emotion, and your will. Our souls, our old nature constantly talks to us. And so the problem is we listen to ourselves when we ought to be talking to ourselves, preaching to ourselves, telling ourselves, as David did here, "Oh, my soul. He looked within, analyzed his heart for the reasons of his depression. And that's when we can sort of take control over the situation. Sometimes our depression is caused because we lose a loved one. And if that is true, then we pour out our grief to God and ask for help. Sometimes it's because we have lost our jobs, lost our money, lost our way, lost our family members, all these various kinds of things, broken relationships, heartaches and heartbreak. And it may be our depression is because of some sin in our life. And we know that we have sinned. David was one of those who knew that he had sinned. If you read in Psalm 51, he confessed what a terrible mess that he had made of his life. And he said, "I have sinned. I've sinned against God." Well, he had sinned against the woman. He had sinned against her husband. He had sinned against her family. He had sinned against the whole nation around him. But when he confessed his sin, he said, "Oh, I have sinned against you, O Lord. In your sight, I am guilty of this sin." So it may be that sin is caused by guilt. You may need to ask someone to forgive you. You need to do it. You need to make restitution to someone. You need to do it. You need to close the door on that and move onward. So you need to look inward. Then you need to look upward. Notice verses 7 through 9. And that's what David was doing here. He was recognizing that God was his help and his hope. God understands. God had not forgotten, even though he felt that he had. And so he was seeking answers from the Lord. You need to look onward and look upward and realize that your hope is in Christ. Look at verse 11. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God." You see, he asked these questions. And that's one of the points of all of this. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to ask God questions. He wants us to. We need to. And here David was saying, "Oh Lord, why am I cast down? What's going on here?" He was preaching to himself, and we need to do that. And then he said, "Oh, hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." There are only two places where there is no hope. Number one is in heaven, because you do not need hope there. You already have fulfillment of all of your joys. Hell is another place where there is no hope. And there is absolutely no chance of hope in hell. What a terrible thought. We need not to let the devil blow out our candle of hope in our life. I wonder how this message makes you feel. You may think, "I'm going to have to start dealing with myself. I know that I am going through a depressed state and I need to do something about it." The hope is here. If we have fallen, we can get up. God loves each of us. God even loves the sparrow. The other day, one of our friends made a beautiful birdhouse. It looks like a church house. If you pass by our house, you'll see it out there that the friend made for us. It's a big, like a church. And I saw the birds going in, and somebody said, "Well, you got all those sparrows going in there." "Yeah, they're filling it up." And I said, "I love the sparrows, and I'm glad to provide a birdhouse for the sparrows." I said, "That's fine with me." And I watch them as they go in and out, and I think God loves us. The Bible says He knows about every sparrow, even every sparrow that falls, that dies. He says, Jesus said, "Oh, God cares more about you than He does the sparrow. His eye is always on the sparrow, and I know He looks at me." God has a place. God is a God of hope. It may be that in your own life you think, "I wish I knew this, God. I wish I knew this hope." There's hope in Christ. Hope in Jesus. "Well, I got to work this in some." Yesterday morning, I got a deer. Some of y'all saw it on my Facebook page. My soul, I was so happy. Before 8 o'clock, he just walked out there and said, "Here I am." And I shot him. And he walked away and died. So when we began, hung the deer up, you know, like you do, and you have to cut them and all the blood and store it there. And I was just standing there and another guy, two guys over here. And as we were blood all over our hands and things, I said, "Y'all remember this is actually how they used to in the Old Testament days worship God. They would take a lamb, an animal, and they would take it and kill it, slit its throat, blood all over everywhere. I said, as I'm looking at this deer, I'm thinking about Jesus. So I was able to witness to the guys standing around. I said, I'm thinking about what Jesus did. This is what Jesus went through for me. He shed, and we sang it a while ago, His precious blood, and there's power in the blood. Oh, the blood that cleanses us from all sin. And I said to the guys, I said, I'm so thankful, aren't you, that we don't have to do this anymore. That whenever we go to church and we have worship and we do the Lord's Supper and other things that we do, we don't have to bring an animal like this in and do all of this, the stinking and the mess and the flies and the trouble and the blood. That's what they had to do in the days of the Old Testament. Every time they worshiped God, they brought sacrifices, and it was a mess. But every sacrifice, and one of the guys standing over there, I didn't even know he knew, he said, yeah, but every sacrifice was pointing to Jesus. And I said, yes, that's exactly right. Every sacrifice was pointing to Jesus. And one day Jesus came, and He was sacrificed upon the cross of Calvary, bleeding and dying for us. And I said, no longer do we have to do that. Jesus died once and not twice. But He went to the grave, rose from the dead, and lives today. Listen, there is hope for us through Christ. He is the one who loves you more than anyone else can love you in all the world. And so I trust and hope and pray that if you're going through a time of darkness and depression in your own life, that you, like David, take that psalm and read it over and over. Try to memorize it. Read it in some other translations even. Besides the King James would be fine. And I believe that God will show you there is great hope. It may be that you have never accepted Christ into your heart. Oh, listen. There's several verses I'm going to conclude with. First of all is Romans 3:23. Read it with me. Why don't you read it out loud with me? Wake some of us up. Say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that's everybody. That's everybody in the world. Then there's Romans 10:9-10. Look at it. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look at Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a definite word from God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then look at Acts 16:31. Read it with me. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and your house. And then that last verse, we all know it. Let's read it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, listen. Today, if you're depressed or if you're not, you need Christ. And I pray that you will invite Him into your heart and into your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Psalm 42. I thank You that Your Spirit inspired somebody to write it. Somebody who was depressed, as some of us are, or some of us have been. And I pray, Lord, that because of this reading and this message, that Your Spirit has convicted the lost and that they will come to You and be saved. Lord, please be with our invitation today, and may your perfect will be done. In Jesus' name.